The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Welcome to the Hawks Talk Podcast, brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Mike Side with a pair of Stanley Cup champions. Three-time Stanley Cup champion winner, Patrick Sharp. 2013 Stanley Cup champion, Jamal Mayers. What's up, boys?
Not too much. Good to be here. Ready to get going on the podcast.
Well, here's the deal. Sharpie's been an awesome addition to the team. He did not know what it was like to do a victorious post-game show. And I'll be honest, I've been doing this for several years now. I kind of forgot myself. So it was great to see the boys finally end the eight-game skid and for you to take part in a winning edition of Blackhawks postgame.
Yes, Sharpie. Thank you very much. It has nothing to do with me, that win. I'm just happy to be here, and I want to thank Jammer, Steve, my buddy Adam Burrish, and you, Pat, and everybody that works with NBC for welcoming me to the staff. It's been fun so far. I know I got a lot of work to do to get better, but it's great to be here at the UC for the first Hawks win with me on the air.
Well, it's I'll tell you, to make this transition into broadcasting and do it when your team is the team that you love is losing, it's not easy because you're in that mode of having to be critical, and unfortunately there's a lot of things to be critical about. But on this night, there were many positives, and as we talked about the pregame show, there were segments over the last couple of weeks, a period here, a few shifts there, where you're like, okay, well, that's, you know, mimic that, give that kind of effort and play that way, and maybe you'll see some things change. But tonight, they put the 60 minutes together, Jammer, and it really started with the fourth line coming through with two big-time goals.
And they were hungry. They were working. And that's one thing you certainly noticed, particularly in that first period. In fact, all game long, is that they were working. And they were getting pucks back, and they were playing a real simple game, getting pucks to the front of the net, out-battling, out-willing their opponents in front of the net, retrieving pucks, getting more pucks to the front of the net, creating traffic, and they got rewarded because of it. And at the end of the day, I thought that they did a nice job of playing against a team that's been playing very well as of late. They stuck together as a group. They came out and played on their toes, not on their heels, Sharpie, and I thought that that really was the difference. Was in the past, when they get scored on twice, it's a natural feeling to be deflated on that bench. They had a mentality that they were going to go out on that ice, play on their toes, play forward, make mistakes, going forward, and they played direct, they played hard, they made hard plays with the puck, and I thought they played fantastic.
And that's something that you've been harping on for the last week or so, is just simplify the game, make it easy on your teammate out there. I don't think the Hawks are built today to have the firepower to run and gun with the Pittsburgh Penguins, to be quite honest with you. I think we got some players that can do it. But top to bottom on the lineup, I think the more simple we play, D to D, get it up the wall, get on the forecheck, force the defense of the opposition to make a play. They're going to give the puck back to us, which we saw tonight a handful of times. And look, it's a formula that's going to work more times than not. But if the Hawks think that they can open up the game, play loose defensively, have Cam Ward or Corey Crawford bail them out night after night, it ain't going to happen. And we've seen it to this point so far. I mean, tonight was a concentrated effort to keep things simple and to be desperate, play for each other, compete a little bit harder than we've seen, in my opinion. You can tell the guys wanted to win tonight, and it's a great feeling. They're going to wake up tomorrow feeling relaxed, excited to come to the rink Friday morning, I think, for once in a long time.
Yeah.
But it doesn't get any easier. It's going to be over in 24 hours. Get yourself ready to play because you got a good team coming in.
And we always talk about important shifts of games, and it's usually the start of a period, an end of a period, the first shift after a goal. Tonight, we saw twice in the final minute of the first and the final minute of the second, Rust coming through with two big goals. So, like, you're going to the dressing room, you're tied at 3-3, but there's that doubt. You go to the dressing room with a 2-1 lead when you thoroughly outplayed them for most of that first period. It's a 2-1 game. So the psychological thing, they had to be dealing with that as well, boys, but it was nice to see them regroup and not let it influence the entire night.
And it's almost like they decided, and we weren't in that room, but a lot of times you get to that point, you're like, fellas, let's just go play. Whatever happens, let's not play on our heels. And it's a mentality that you have to just decide. At this point, I don't care what happens in the result. I'm going to focus on the now. I'm going to focus on my next shift. And the results tend to take care of themselves. They played the right way. They managed the puck properly. They were playing against a very skilled team that if they didn't do so, they were going to get exposed. And they took advantage of their opportunities. And I think that over time, they're realizing that, you know what? To your point, Sharpie, they're not the team of the past. They're going to have to work for everything they get. And that's okay. That just means your mentality has to change and you have to stick to the program. How many times do you say that in the room? Stick to the program. What that means is don't defer or change or think we have to be creative and do things that aren't us. We have enough skill. We have enough guys that will be able to chip in. But we're, you know, instead of before, their formula was their skill. Now I think it's got to be their work ethic. Can they outwork the opponent? If they outwork the opponent, they'll be fine. They'll be in the game. Because they have a fantastic goalie and they have game breakers.
And they've got some guys that, excuse me, I'm not used to these podcasts, getting a little choked up. They have some guys that maybe right now can't open it up and be those skilled puck possession players that we want them to be, but maybe down the road they can. I think the development of Dylan Strome has been something to keep an eye on. He's impressed me a lot since he's came in. But when you talk about the game tonight against Pittsburgh, let's not forget that this is an organization in Chicago that is used to being in big games, whether it's a playoff game, whether it's a Winter Classic, an outdoor game, or whether it's just simply Wednesday night hockey. NBC was in the building tonight, national, right? This is a nationally televised game. Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin. There's a lot of stars on the Penguins. That's a back-to-back cup champion team in recent history. I feel like guys get up for those games. At least they have in the past, wearing the Blackhawks uniform. And I don't know, this one just felt different for me. Right from the first 5 minutes, it felt like Patty called it from the outset that Hawks were going to win tonight. And when you saw the effort and the competition level being raised a little bit higher, you knew we were in for good things. One thing that I noticed in the game tonight is I felt like the team looked a lot more organized. You know, when the opposition scores on the Hawks, it always just looks so easy. At least it has in the last 10, 11, 12 games, right? All these goals going in, it just looks like, boy, that looked easy. How did that happen? And then when we score a goal, it's got to be bounced in or a mistake from the other team. It looks like we got to work so hard to score those goals. So tonight the organization was key. The competition level was up. They played desperate. You can tell once we scored that fourth goal from Marcus Kruger, who I thought him and Martinson played a valuable game for us tonight. They play, you know, we got a few offensive zone starts. They played late into the game. Martinson's on the penalty kill. We know what Marcus Kruger can do. I talked to Jammer up in the press box watching the game, and that's an underrated role, Marcus Kruger. We're winning championships in years past. Kruger was on some of those teams, and he played valuable minutes. We'd throw him out on the ice. You knew we weren't maybe going to score a goal offensively, but nothing bad was going to happen. He was going to try to win the faceoff. He was going to stay above his centerman. He was going to help out defensively. He was going to make sure that he wasn't on the ice for goals against late in periods, late in games. And that's something that winning teams need. You can't just trot out all-star players and expect to win 7-6 every night. You need those players like Marcus Kruger. And tonight, the case of Andreas Martinsson, who filled that role for the Hawks, and it resulted in a big win.
That's why he was on the ice, right, 2013 in Boston, right? That shift following Bickle's goal. You know, Joel's thinking, let's just get this thing to overtime. Oh, lo and behold, let's win it right now.
Yeah, can you think of a bigger shift? Two goals in 17 seconds to steal the Stanley Cup out of that building in Boston. Who's he have on the ice? Marcus Kruger taking that draw. So that shows you the importance of those types of players.
All right, so I want to pick up on a couple things here. Number one, you said outwork the other team. And if you look at the goals other than the DeBrincat power play goal, those were all extended shifts, right? You know, fourth line guys, Kruger hitting the crossbar, goes into the corner, digging it out. Dahlstrom from the half wall off Martinsson, who worked hard on that shift. You look at the last Kruger goal. That was a fourth line strong shift. Martinsson below the goal line, a good forecheck as well. So totally with you on that. And this team has to outwork the opposition. As we've said several times on our pregame shows, this isn't your dad's Chicago Blackhawks anymore. The talent level is not where it it used to be throughout that lineup. And so it's going to come down to energy and effort. But I want to ask what you were saying, Patrick. They looked organized. You know, when you're losing, you change the lineup so much. I think there has to be some semblance of sticking with some of these lines so that some of these forwards can develop some chemistry on a game-to-game, period-to-period situation. Would you agree with some of that?
Yeah, I think so. And in all fairness, it's tough to take a team over 20 games in and look for those combinations and try to find them right away. It's tough to learn on the fly as well. And when you're losing games, that just seems to pile on. But the Hawks, right from the outset, and when they're playing good hockey, it seems like they have a plan, right? They're throwing pucks to the net. They're putting the defense of the opposition on their heels. They're getting those pucks back. If there's nothing there, they're not trying to force a play. They're just putting the puck behind the net, trying to win battles, simplifying the game. And it's funny because we sit here and we watch the games and we critique it like we have all the answers. And I've been listening to Jammer talk about get the puck behind the D, get it to the goal line, win those battles, simplify the game. Well, that's exactly what the Hawks did to start the game today, and it made a huge difference in winning against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
And honestly, for me, that simplification of the game, it makes your play look predictable. And what does predictability mean? It means you're in sync with each other. Because I'm not anticipating what I think you're going to do. I know what you're going to do, and I can already slash support. I can go behind the net because I know you're going to put the puck there. And that makes everyone look like they're flowing together and gets everyone in the game. I just really think they have to play this way. And it may not be they play this way for the entire game, but they certainly have to do it to start games for the first 15 minutes. They have a ton of skill, and there's certain guys that have a different program. You know, you got a guy like 88 who has a tremendous amount of skill. He can carry the puck in probably at any moment that he wants to, but I think once you back them in, and you could tell their defensemen were getting sick of getting run through the boards. Mm-hmm. They were cheating a little bit to get back, trying to just not get run through the boards. What does that do? That makes them rush. That makes them not come out cleanly. That makes the puck come along the boards. And when you're in the positions that you should be when you're forechecking, you're going to create turnovers. It was one of the first times in the third period. It might have happened a few more times. But I noticed that we were able to change while we were in the offensive zone. All three forwards changed. Now that, to me, is sustained pressure, sustained zone time, where you know the Pittsburgh Penguins were surprised. They probably walked away wondering, how is this team losing so much?
And mostly the last week or so, maybe 2 weeks, when we see line changes on the fly, it was, let's hoist this thing to center ice and get off the ice as fast as we can. To Jammer's point, we had sustained pressure in the offensive zone from simplifying the game, making an easy play. Just get the puck in behind and let your buddy go and get it. I mean, you can't have a team filled with DeBrinkets, Canes, and Securas. You need those players, okay? You need that skill, that offensive talent. You need those puck carriers. You need those guys to make their teammates better. But I was one of those players as well. I didn't have maybe the puck-carrying ability as those guys did, but I was an offensive-minded player. My favorite teams to be on is when we had guys like the one sitting beside me, a Jammer. When we had a Ben Eager, an Adam Burrish, Colin Frazier, Thomas Kopecky, guys that would run around the ice, make hits, play physical, play in the offensive zone below the dots. All of a sudden, they come off the ice. Our line jumps out there, and now Kane's got that much more time with the puck to create.
Right.
If you just got a team filled with puck carriers and making plays through the neutral zone and trying to create, that becomes easy to defend after a while. I think the balance of the physical play that we saw tonight, the simplification, and then you sprinkle in some high-end talent like the goal we saw from DeBrinkert on a nice cross-ice pass from Kaner, gets tipped, Cat picks it up, stays onside, scores a great goal on the power play. That's what I'm trying to talk about.
All right, I'm going to quickly run through some of these lines, and I'm going to have you tell me if it's a work in progress or if you think it's got potential to stay long term. Saad Taves, Cahoon.
Yeah, I like it. I think you should keep them together. Cahoon is a puck hound. I think he gets on pucks. I think he sustains plays. I think he's all over the puck. He does that dirty work, and he has enough creativity to make a play.
And what do you think about that line?
I can't argue with that. I like Johnny in the middle. It allows him to create. When he's got two guys on his wing, Cahoon and Saad, playing straight lines, hounding the puck, getting to the blue paint, finding those pucks and getting it to Johnny in good spaces like we saw on the Seabrook goal today, right? Those guys did a lot of dirty work below the goal line. Taser gets it, throws it to the point, Siebes pounds at home. I think that's a line that can work, and it's had some chemistry early in the season. But to my point earlier, is like you can't just let those three guys go out there and run the show. It's a balanced lineup that's going to make the difference.
All right, Dylan Strome looks like he needs to still get in shape a little bit. DeBrincat, Strome, and Kane, can that be a long-term answer?
Yeah, I think it can. I think Strome surprised me. I think I thought I was questionable about why it hasn't worked for him in an atmosphere that I didn't know much about, but just from the outside, it seemed like Arizona would have been a place that a younger player could thrive. That never was the case, and sometimes it's just a case of needing a fresh start, and sometimes you follow a favor for whatever reason. I liked his energy. I like his compete level. I like his creativity. He makes every game he's gotten better and better, and he keeps making plays that you're like, whoa, this kid has unbelievable vision. I think he's going to get better. I do think there is a component that will work itself out over the next 3 to 4 weeks is that, Sharp, you could speak to this, he probably lost his spirit a little bit in Arizona. And with that, you kind of forget, maybe you forget to ride the bike after when you're not playing as much. Maybe he's like, they don't believe in me anywhere. He didn't really see the light at the end of the tunnel. Now he does. It's just going to take time for him to get into game shape. I don't even think we're seeing the best of him. I think that's going to come in the next 5-6 weeks.
It is. Not everybody jumps into the league at 18, 19 years old like Auston Matthews, Connor McDavid, Jack Eichel. These are the guys that were drafted, you know, right around the same draft as Dylan Strome. So there's got to be some pressure, self-pressure on Stromer's part to kind of feel that he wants to get going in his NHL career. He sees the other guys leading the league and scoring and being dominant players. But I got to raise my hand and say I'm guilty. When I saw Max Domi get traded out of Arizona to Montreal, I thought that was a bad trade, to be honest with you. And Max Domi has done nothing but surprise me all season long. I think that's a situation where Max is a kid born and raised in Toronto, loves the game of hockey. All of a sudden, he's in a hockey market now. He's out of Arizona, which I think are doing some good things in Arizona as well. But Max is in a city that just lives and breathes hockey, and he's thriving off that passion, that energy. Dylan Strome, from talking to him off the ice, talking to teammates of his, talking to my old buddies on the Hawks that say nothing but good things about Dylan, this guy lives and breathes hockey. He wants to be good. He wants to be that stud at the NHL level that he was at the junior leagues. He was a great player on Team Canada at the World Juniors. He led the league in scoring in the Ontario Hockey League with the Erie Otters. This is a guy that I think wants to be a good player. And if you give me a team of guys that want to play the game, that live and breathe hockey, that want to win the Stanley Cup, those are the guys that are going to win. It's not the guys that, you know, have 1 foot out the door and have other interests. It's a 24-hour job. At least it was when I played the game, Jammer. I could never turn it off. I wanted to always find ways to get better. And in the case of Dylan Strome, the thing about that line, Kat, Stromer, we know the chemistry there. Kaner can play with anybody, but Stromer's gotten a lot better at competing in the faceoff dot. He's actually, for a young kid, does very well there. And he's getting stronger in the defensive zone. Part of that could be learning a new system under Jeremy Colleton. But when that, even he's effective defensively, then the coach can put him out there against anybody. We saw him tonight playing against Sheehan, the checking line of the Pittsburgh Penguins. We saw him out there against the Malkin line. Now, that's what you want. You want that Taves-Strome combo down the middle. And I think they're well on their way.
And you know what I really hope, and I know that, you know, no one understands and loves a game more than Kaner. I hope he's talking to the kid because he's probably, as a centerman, used to having the puck a lot, particularly through the neutral zone. Kaner's unique in that respect as a winger is he wants the puck. So he might have the puck less. And it was the challenge that I thought, okay, how's Anisimov going to – how is he going to adjust to not having the puck as much? And he was able to figure it out, manage it, wait, you know what, maybe I just got to tap it to him, go to the net, let those two guys figure it out in Panarin and Kane, and I'll go to the front of the net and get tap-ins. I hope that Kaner's talking to the young kid and again, letting him understand, you know what, we're going to create. I just need you to retrieve pucks, get pucks to me, get us through the neutral zone, be responsible defensively, and I'll get you a few tap-ins.
And he's been doing it, Strome. He's been going to the net. He's been winning battles. He's been heavy on the forecheck. You're absolutely right when all three of these guys are used to handling the puck, making plays, and being the guy on that line. Well, when you look at 12, 17, and 88, I think we know who the man is on that line and who's going to have the puck most nights. So to Strome's credit, the fact that he's going to the blue paint, the fact that he's coming up with loose pucks, that just tells me he wants to be there, and I think the best is yet to come for him.
We're going to not talk about the fourth line because we gave him kudos earlier, and we are dealing with Anisimov out with the concussion-like symptoms. But small sample size, only saw Dylan Sakura for his first game this year with the Blackhawks on Wednesday night. His brother Tyler came in from Rockford to watch that. Kampf has been very versatile all up and down. He's played, I think, on every line He's played wing. He's played center, as he did on Wednesday night. And then Perlini on the right side. I would say, you know, he's been the one of the more inconsistent wingers since he was acquired in late November.
Yeah. You know what? At the end of the day, it's going to be crucial for him to figure out who he is. I don't think you're going to change his stripes. He's not going to be a physical player. He's, even though you see his stature and the way he skates, that's not going to be his game. And I don't really care if he hits anybody. But for me, it's about being hard on the puck, winning your puck battles, because you know with that frame and that ability to skate, he's got a strong base. He can be strong on the puck. So for me, that consistency about being strong in the puck is important, and playing more of a straight line game. Use your speed, shoot pucks to the net, get to the front of the net. Use the front of the net as a magnet. Puck goes to the corner, get back to the front of the net. That should be the way he plays, in straight lines. And if he doesn't, I don't think he's going to have success. He might watch and see other guys. When you're playing junior and you're his size and you have his skill set, he might be able to be a little bit more creative and lose the puck and get it back and do these things. Not at this level. His game has to be straight line. I think if he figures that out, he has a great future. If he doesn't, I'm not sure what's going to happen.
Everybody was a good player in junior, in college, in the American League, right? Jammer, how many points did you have in college 1 year? I mean, you were leading the NCAA at some point. You make the NHL, you got Doug Waite, you got Keith Tkachuk, you got other players in line. Like, Perlini's not stepping into the Hawks roster and running the half-wall power play instead of Patrick Kane. So find out how you can fit into the lineup. Find out what's going to make you an everyday NHL player so that you can be counted on to play a role. For me, the key to this line is David Camp. He's been strong all season long. He's in great shape. One of the fittest Blackhawks, in my opinion. I think he can fill that role in the bottom six centerman position. Think of Marcus Kruger in the heyday of the Hawks winning the Cups with a little bit of an offensive upside. I think he skates very well. He's had some chemistry with his buddy Cahoon, who is now playing with Taser on the top line. But Camp is a guy that, you know, I think he can be valuable for us in a lot of different areas. And in the case of Dylan Sakura, I think it's too early to judge. I
right.
mean, you can't expect kids at his age to jump in and make a difference, especially mid-season. And maybe if he starts in training camp and starts the season on time, at this point you could see a little bit more. But coming up from Rockford, I was up and down probably 40 times with the Philadelphia Flyers and Phantoms when over a three-year period, and I always found it a huge jump to come up to the NHL. And as time went on, I learned what the coaches wanted from me, and I learned my role. I got up to speed, but it's not easy. Yesterday, you're practicing with the Rockford IceHogs. Today, you're on the ice against Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. That's a pretty big jump, but I like his game. I think he's a crafty player. I think he wants the puck. He didn't handle the puck a whole lot against the Penguins, but it's his first game. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Power play is where I see him affecting the Hawks the most. I think he's a guy that had success in the college ranks in the power play. This 1-3-1 umbrella that everyone's running right now, this is what he thrived on, and I think the best is yet to come.
Quick timeout on the Hawks Talk podcast. Up next, if the guys go to Hockey Santa and they can only ask for one thing this holiday season for the Blackhawks, what would it be? That's next on the Hawks Talk podcast.
Get all of your Blackhawks news in the palm of your hand with the My Teams app by NBC Sports. The best place to stream the games, watch highlights, read articles, and more. Download the My Teams app today.
Back on the Hawks Talk podcast with Jamal Mayers and Patrick Sharp. I am Pat Boyle. All right, boys, it is the holiday season, less than 2 weeks ago before the big man in the red suit makes his way down the chimney and puts all those great goodies underneath the tree. Let's go the hockey tree. Let's say that the man in the North Pole could bring something to this Blackhawks team that it desperately needs. Jammer, I'll let you go first.
Oh, just a sprinkle of magic gold power play dust.
Power play dust.
Power play dust. That creates some magic for the power play to bail them out and to win some hockey games. You can get 12 wins if your power play scores goals at the most opportune times. They don't even have to score like 3 for 4. Just the right time of the game. That's when you need the power play to come through.
The thing about the power play is when you have power play success, I've been on some good power plays, and it carries over big time for those guys that are on the power play into 5-on-5 ice. There's been so many times where I went through a 5-game stretch and did nothing 5-on-5 as a player individually. Maybe get 1 assist, 2 assists on the power play. All of a sudden, you're feeling good about yourself. And you don't have to do much to stand on the point and pass it down the half wall and get that secondary assist. When the power play starts clicking, everybody gets their cookies, as we call them, get their points. Everybody starts feeling good about themselves. And it translates into much better hockey. But for me, I just want to see this team play to their potential. I think it's a tough position for Coach Colladen to jump in 20 games into the season, teams losing. Not only do you make a coaching change, we've seen coaching changes 1,000 times in the league, but we made a coaching change where we lost one of the best coaches.
Legend.
In the history of the game. That's not an easy spot to jump into, especially when you're a 33-year-old coach and your back's already against the wall. So I like to see this team play their best. Connor Murphy's coming back. Hopefully he rounds into form. Dunks and Siebes, I still think they have a little bit left in the tank. They can be good when the team's rolling well. And we know we've got some offensive stars. I want to see everybody play to their potential, see what the high-end level of this team can be.
I agree with both of those, but I'm going to get greedy and ask Santa for something else, because if he takes care of you two, we need one more thing. I think it's just better defensive zone coverage. You know, too many times we're leaving that man on mark, coming out of the corner, getting a good look. Better ice awareness, and whether that's system, whether it's just smart hockey 101, pucks along the wall, you can't do a lot of damage along the wall, no need for two or three guys to go to the wall. Yep. Take care of that, the house. Take care of that great real estate in front. Better defensive zone coverage. If they do all those three things, this team's going to be at least in the discussion of trying to make a wild card spot. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Hopefully they can grow. Great job as always, boys, on the pre- and the post-game show. Thanks for doing the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us. That was fun.
Happy holidays, boys. And that'll do it for the Hawks Talk podcast, brought to you by your Chicagoland Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. For Patrick Sharp, Jamal Mayers, I'm Pat Boyle. Thanks for listening, as always, everybody. And we'll catch you next time.